tonight, Wednesday, 11/20/24. This is called As a Roaring Lion. All right. I start out by writing here, what camp are you in? The victory camp, or simply, wait a minute, the victim camp or the victory camp? Excuse me here. Victory camp or victim camp? All right. It's a simply a mental decision. Victory or victim, you know, either way. All right. This is where you choose to reside. This is where you live. Your mental life really is your life, you know. So that's what all this has been about, is learning to keep this mental life under control. If we were just spirits, we'd be like Jesus, right? I mean, he's a flesh and bone man, but he's also spirit. He's been changed. And we will be, but until that time, we still have to deal with this soul. All right. I remember when I first started television, the Lord gave me a little saying called, think about what you're thinking about. And I've had a lot of experience in realizing that when fear shows up, then you know who showed up. The enemy, fear. And so you can think it can scare you, or either it can think, well, I know who just walked in the door. And I know this isn't of God. I know God didn't give me that spirit of fear. But what? Power, love, and a sound mind? Isn't that what the mental life is? The sound mind? What word the goal is? Okay. All right. Think about what you're thinking about. It's a matter of learning and disciplining yourself to change your thinking patterns when things come at you. Okay. 1 Peter 5:8. The Lord spoke it all those years ago, but it still is the same. It has not changed. Brother Hagin having a dream about two lions. It was another man. The man took off running. He decided he was going to run, but he decided to stop and turn around. The lion just stopped, sniffed around, and run off. Didn't give him any ammunition. All right. Y'all there? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So everybody knows the trouble you've seen. That's what Peter's saying here. We've all had the opportunity to experience this. All right. I guess I should have looked up here about being sober and being vigilant, what those words mean. What do they mean? I'm sure you've looked them up.
The word sober literally does mean sober, to be
not drunk.
Right, and then vigilant means be watchful.
Okay. So don't be drunk and be watchful. Yeah. You know, associating with the wrong things. I was doing television this afternoon, and I'm kind of on the back of what I brought Sunday about these people that are spewing false narratives. They're doctrines of devils. They're not from God, and those kind of things. And see, this gets people, you could say, it makes them drunk, because they think, well, the gospel's just boring. You know, this old church is just boring. But all this other fantastic stuff is so exciting, isn't it? Last night, Phil was talking about the med beds. He said, well, let me give you some information about the med beds. He said, they're not going to make you look any younger. And they're not the end-all to be-all. I'm thinking, touche to you. I'm so tired of hearing about it's the everything. You can regenerate your life three times. And take 30 years off each time. I'm thinking, what about this is unbelievable to me? The only one that gives life and can renew life is God. Some devil can't do that. He might could do some temporary something, but there's going to be a, what do you call it at the end of it? There'll be a price you pay. Like, what's the catch? That's what I think about the medbeds. What's the catch? What's the side effects? They were talking about, especially if with youth renewal, a lot of them have psychological problems afterwards. Who does that sound like? It doesn't sound like God. All right, right here. This lion is not a lion. Jesus is the lion. But this devil is as he portrays himself as a roaring lion, but he really isn't. Depending on how you look at it, he really isn't. All right, this lion is fictitious. Fictitious. In other words, he's an imposter. False evidence appearing real? Yeah. Roaring means voice or an apparition. That's a ghost. Right here, apparition, a ghostly figure, the act of becoming visible or appearance. Depending on how you act, I guess that's how much they can manifest. They operate in fear. The roar is a scare tactic of a real lion. That's what he is. It's that big old roar supposed to paralyze the prey. All right. Satan's not a real lion. He's already been disarmed. He can make a big stink, can make a big noise, but he really doesn't have any power unless you give it to him. He uses symptoms and all kinds of things to add scare tactics to try to set the stage to get you to believe it. But when you think about it, well, Lord, like I told you, the Lord showed me, it's been several months back, it was during a TV shoot, and I remember being under attack and I couldn't go to sleep, and I saw Jesus on the cross like this, his arms were out like this, and I saw what was bothering me on him. Lord was saying, it's already on him, so whatever you're experiencing is not real. Jesus took what was real. All right. I know it may not seem like it. Well, let me show you. Let's go to Acts. There's nobody better to look at besides Jesus than Paul. This is Acts 28. Paul had a decision here. Start with verse 1 there. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire, received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. But it opened an avenue for him to be able to minister to the sick on the island, bring them to the knowledge of Jesus. So Paul knew a few things by what he went through. He learned the tactics of the enemy. I mean, this man was tired. I mean, they'd been through an ordeal for 2 weeks in that hurricane. Gone without food and all of those kind of things. And then the stress of the shipwreck and having to swim to the shore just probably felt like you just wanted to lay down and sleep for 24 hours. And then this happens. He's probably saying, Lord, how much more? Have you ever asked the Lord that? Lord, just how much more do you think I can bear? Probably, I guess a lot more than we think. Or the Lord knows. You know, because the scripture says he won't put more on you than you can bear. Okay. If Paul had given heed to it and started acting like most Christians do, he would have probably died that day. I mean, there was opportunities in other times, too, that he could have died that day. That was Satan's objective, to take him out. He was a threat. Threat to the kingdom of darkness. So Paul shook it off. He didn't give any other thought to it. But I'm telling you, I'm sure he felt it. He was physical, just like you are. He's mental, just like you are. But he just learned to just suck it up and just keep on trucking. All right. Sometimes, you know, it's hard when you're going where you've never been before. Kind of like the deep sea diver I talked about. I said, Lord, I feel like you've left me on the bottom and I'm nearly out of air. And I'm thinking, go to Matthew. And knowing if you go up too fast, you'll blow up. Yeah. Yeah. All right, 24. Y'all got to have it again. I'm sorry. We can either walk around as basket cases and be mentals, or we're going to have to be men. There's only two choices here. Right here. No man can serve two masters. Either you're going to let fear rule you or faith. For he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, walking the Christian life goes totally against the grain of the natural life. Yeah. All right, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Well, it's obvious Paul didn't take any thought for his life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Paul knew how to draw on the grace because God told him whenever he had the thorn in the flesh, he said, I asked the Lord 3 times. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Is that just for Paul? No. For you too? It says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? In other words, by taking thought and getting into worry and care, it don't help you, does it? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. How's fear come? Thought. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? That thought comes is to try to get you to say what you do not want, have a meltdown or a flesh fit. What we shall drink or what we are withal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. If you ask the Lord, Lord, don't you know what's going on here? Says he already knows. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I was telling Danny, you know, there's things that you're not even asking about, and the Lord just gives you the answer. And there's things that have plagued you and have been so hard and grievous, and it's like crickets. Don't say anything. All right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. That's why I keep in today, today, and don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. It's a good place to be. Handle today, today, because there'll be something tomorrow. But you don't need to be taken tomorrow. You need to be taken today. That's it. You're here. That's all the guarantee is, you're here today. Now, I'm not saying anybody's anything's going to happen to anybody, but you get what I mean. God means for us to take it a day at a time, and the grace for the day will be there. You'll make it through. I've looked back on certain things and thought I'd never make it, and you look back months and months and months and months and think, well, I have. I made it. Well, we're going to continue to make it. We have to make that a part of our life, that resolve that we win. We can't lose. We're more than conquerors. We are not made to lose. We're made to win. Okay. Let me ask you a question. You ready? How would you act if all your negative circumstances just disappeared? How would you act? We'd have a bunch of screaming and jumping around, wouldn't we? Okay, it says most are waiting for God to take it all away. The Lord said something to me yesterday. He said, what was the first thing that the crippled man did? Laid his crutch down. He laid his crutch down. All the things we use to accommodate our flesh and what we're going through. For him to rise up and walk, he had to put his crutch down. Okay. All right. Okay, right here. Most are waiting for God to take it away, but God is waiting on us to make the decision to not let it affect us, just like Paul. In other words, he's expecting us. It's kind of like as they went, they were healed. They took Jesus at his word, and as they went, they started acting like they were, and as they were, it came. Instead of, you know, like the rich man or the centurion, that's his servant was sick. He just spoke the word only. When he got home, he was well. But most people are waiting on God. If God doesn't show up, well, they'll do something different. They have an alternative, all planned out. Mm-hmm. It's real easy to do that, isn't it? When you've been trained your whole life to do that, coming out of that is a discipline. So no, I don't want to do anything that God hasn't sanctioned, that God hasn't told me to do. Why? Because we get in trouble. We mess everything up when we don't do it his way, and he knows everything. Why wouldn't we go? We go to the experts of the world, and they're stupid as stumps. They're deceived by the evil one. They think they know everything, but they do not. But God knows everything, and nobody wants to take the time to ask him. Mm-hmm. This is the decision that we are faced with false evidence appearing real, when it presents itself, in other words, as a roaring lion. It is formed like that apparition, but we have the say to keep it from becoming armed. See, whenever, you know, you're in a situation, you just keep acting like everything's all right. Doesn't matter if it appears to be or not. You have to make the decision it is. It is. All right. You can decide to ignore it or entertain it. That's where warfare comes in. You can just cast it off, not give it any thought, or you can just sit and stew on it, worry on it, and just get sicker and more agitated. All right, let's go to Matthew 12. The devil's after your words because he knows you create like God. So we can't let him have the words he's wanting to hear. All right, 12:37. Jesus said this, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." See how valuable the vocabulary of silence can be? It's kind of like this, whatever he says to you, do it. If he doesn't tell you to say anything, don't say anything. If he doesn't tell you to do anything, don't do anything. It's not rocket science. It's a very simple concept. But not allowing your emotions to get mixed up in it is the key. That's where the problem is. All right, the roar as a lion is to incite you to say things because you're under pressure, things you don't want. We should maintain the vocabulary of silence until the Holy Spirit gives us the word or words to say. Talk about Isaiah 40:31. You can't mount up until you've waited. Okay, Ephesians 6, armor of God. The armor of God's mental. It's mental. Because we don't have any problem with our spirit. It's perfect. All right, Ephesians 6:10. Y'all know this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How are we going to do that? Not by listening to your soul. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, our circumstances seem, they are real. But that's flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he says here, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have it done all to stand. Stand therefore. Resist the urge to speak. You know what? How can the enemy know what you're thinking or anything else unless you give your words? He can't. He's not omnipresent. He's not a mind reader. A lot of people think the devil can read your mind. No, he can't. You know what demons do? I know Brother Hagin said this. Familiar spirits, they hang around families and they see generations and they see behavior patterns and different things. And they know what buttons to push, but they don't read your mind. And you know, besides that, if you keep your mouth shut and you just pray in the Spirit, he can't intercept that either. It's spirit to spirit, and he can't interfere with that in any form or fashion. Like I said, he's not all that. He thinks he is, but he's not. God is mightier. There's another scripture the Lord gave to me. He said, when I was having that problem and I saw that vision of, just a vision picture in my mind of Jesus with the infirmity on him, that he said, focus on the power, not on what you're going through. In other words, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. That's the focus. The enemy has no power. Hasn't he been disarmed already? Jesus spoiled him. He just plays mind games. That's what he's all about. He's just as a lion. He's not a lion. All right, let's keep going here. All right, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Mind games. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have it in all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The loin belt, this goes around the mind. I know it go in the armor, it goes around the loin. But in the scriptures, this is the mind here. Gird up the loins of your mind, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, any right to put this on me? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's where your stability. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So this is a spiritual battle, and I think it's to be handled in the Spirit. It's not one of these things that you get out there and start, doing your little, here are little rotes. You know what I'm saying? Your little rotes. No, this is a stand in the Spirit. And what will happen in that stand in the Spirit? You'll get instructions on what to do. And that's when you act. The sword of the Spirit will come out of your mouth. But if you've just been blabbing it, just saying stuff, just doing stupid stuff, well, you know. Works of the flesh don't work against a spiritual adversary. The sword of the Spirit does. It's the only thing that can take him out. And that's sanctioned by the Spirit, not by the flesh. The Holy Spirit's been speaking these things to us for a few weeks. All these things we've done as church people for all these years that have gotten us nowhere, haven't gotten us any answers to prayer. We're just saying all the time and confessing and doing all this stuff, and it's about like, you might as well, like Brother Hagin said, you should already just be doing nursery rhymes as good as it's going to help you. But if you spend that time not doing that, praying in the Spirit, I don't believe you can miss it. And even if you don't get anything praying in the Spirit, what does it do? Builds up your most holy faith. So you can stand. You cannot waver against the paper lion. All right. In Jesus' ministry, he would sometimes just speak a word. If the person took him at his word, then he received what they came for from him. Our biggest problem is that instead of accommodating the word of God, we begin to accommodate the problem. The problem becomes bigger than the answer that God has for us that we can act on in this situation. Talking about patience having its perfect work, that you shall be entire and wanting nothing. I mean, I remember one time there was something I was dealing with, and I remember going to the Lord. I spent all afternoon, and the Lord, gave me my answer. And I remember this lady saying, that's what we should all be doing. But nobody does. They'll run to the doctor, they'll run to the banker, they'll run to this and run to that. But to give God time, to actually go before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm not doing anything. Like oop, I don't do nothing unless God says. I thought with oop, you know, I had a problem with Twinkies. I'm thinking, if that's the only problem you got, you're in pretty good shape. All right, let me pick up here where I left off. Accommodate and be a victim, or keep silent and seek the Lord and be a victor. Seek ye first. It's all about seeking the kingdom first, seeking Him for the answers to the things that we face. If we will, we won't get into trouble. He has, what do you call that? Not hindsight, but he sees all. We don't, but He does. All right. Okay, accommodate. All right, I already said that. Say this. I am not stressed.
I am blessed.
I'm not a victim.
I am a victor.
We are made in the image and likeness of God. And He always wins. And so do we. All right, I want to read Deuteronomy 28 to you. And this will be it. I think that's it. No, it's not it. We're close to it, though. This is Deuteronomy 28. Starting with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. He's just looking for a people that will listen to Him and obey Him. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause our enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto, and He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken to the commandment of the Lord thy God, which command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. When we do things our own way, what God do you think you're serving? That's that other master. That's why it's important to hear God's word. If He can just get a people that'll listen to Him, He'll show them what to do, and He'll give them all. He'll give it all. All right. It's all a matter of attitude. Victory's mentality, or a victor's mentality, is a choice. And a victim's mentality is also a choice. Attitude determines altitude. Which one is bigger to you? Okay. Can or can't? Can or can't? All right, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul said here, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no way he can take it away. He can interfere. Pickling the beast in your life is just a decision away. Pickling your beast. All right, choosing wisely. God has supplied the grace for you to always triumph. Two more, and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make a manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give to all men liberty, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. It's there. You just got to ask for it. Wait on it. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He's already defeated. Don't let him snucker you into being defeated. Satan is disarmed as a roaring lion. Keep him that way. This is your shake moment. Your shake moment. The victory is ours when the battle is the Lord's. When we choose to not run in fear and get his counsel, he will pickle the beast for us. He's got the plan. Okay.